Hello, welcome to the 5280 podcast. Strap on and have a good time.
From the Mobile 5280 Studios, Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here on the floor of Comic Fest, and I have a local artist. The one that has pulled himself out from the ashes like the Phoenix of old.
Oh my god.
For the home players, introduce yourself, local artist, that is now reborn in the fires of...
I would like to call myself Barry McLean Jr., artist at Valiant Comics in New York. Burning Spear, Mecha Workshop, all that stuff. Blue Juice Comics, yep.
You have gotten quite around in a very short time. And this is, yeah. I mean, this is impressive because the only, with the exception of J. Scott Campbell, the only other person is Lila DeLuca that I know within the last couple of years that have completely just hit the scene with a vengeance.
I appreciate that.
Now, to see you come in on Valiant is, I mean, that is just inspiring.
I'm lucky. It's part luck, and it's just part, like, you ain't going to take no for an answer. Because when I got with Valiant, I was already doing my thing already independently. I had Serial Tags I did with Matt Pierce.
Right.
I did Oblivion Chain. And those are just books that we did on our own fruition, just to say that we can do the job. That's what all editors want to know.
But, well, you want to, I mean, and you and I will talk about this now. Because Shooter, you sat down with Jim Shooter. And this man is intense because I have been at a, and I hate to call it a reading, but the man the man goes through your artwork and he dissects that shit. I mean, and he's like, show me what a chair, but show me a window, give me background.
Absolutely, he would do something like that, but that wasn't, it was the case with me. But when I met him, I met Mike Carlin when I was 12 years old.
And got critiques.
I got critiques from him. This was around the Death of Superman time. Him and Brett Breeden. Dan Jurgis wasn't there, but it was on the Death of Superman tour. And they said I had the storytelling aspect or whatever, but all editors are going to say the storytelling. And they said I was 12, and they was like, you got storytelling chops, kid. Keep it up. But when I met Shooter via the internet, and him and Mike DiCarlo was the only ones giving me critiques via the internet, saying do this, watch movies more, do that.
All right.
So when I finally met him face to face in 2016, last year, he was like, oh, you're Barry McLean. Like,
and then, because
I used to bug him a lot. I used to bug Shooter a lot. Him and Mike DiCarlo. I mean, Tom DeFalco, rather.
Right.
I know Mike DiCarlo, but that's a different story. We got work together. But he goes, I see what you're doing, Barry, and you're not like the other guys. You actually listen, and a lot of guys listen. So I met warm Jim Shooter, not brutal Jim Shooter.
You see,
you
there
know what I
mean?
And
difference.
Plus, I was already with Valiant at the time when I finally met him face-to-face, and I wasn't with Valiant. I was just hounded for work on LinkedIn or whatever case may be.
Whatever it takes for networking.
Whatever it takes. But after I did that, when I got with Valiant, I just started working with Blue Juice, with Kevin Smith, and then after that, Brandon Easton, writer of Lost, and he writes for Transformers Rescue Bots. He just recently wrote an episode of Agent Carter, too.
I saw that.
He's also got a book, The Mask and stuff. Brandon Easton, I did Armor Riders with him in Singapore.
Really?
Yeah, and I just finished that book, inked it, penciled and inked it. So you can go over to the booth and check out some of that stuff, too.
Oh, yes.
And now I'm working with Mike Barron, you know, doing a new book.
He's quite the character.
Oh, I love Mike Barron. It was... Me and Mike Barron are a match made in hell because, like, I'm a liege and he's the demon. So who's spanking who? I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, Mike,
you know what? That just
angel.
Gives me so many different visuals on you right now.
I know.
With
doesn't it kind of sound sexy? But
wings.
It does sound kind of sexy. But Mike Barron's writing is amazing. I get to work with all these pro writers now. I'm also working with Justin Gray on another property we got coming out.
Are you doing with Mike? Are you doing a Nexus or a Badger story?
Al, funny thing you mentioned Badger, because I'm now doing covers for Badger now. So I'm doing a new Badger cover that's coming out. You know what I mean? I'm doing that. Just got that gig like 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
But
so you hard at, you are hard at work.
I just try to outwork everybody. A lot of these guys don't finish their pages.
Well, and see, and this is like an ongoing conversation between me and a few of my writer friends that, you know, artists always are like, pay us for what we're worth.
Yeah.
Well, artists need to actually deliver
They need to.
When they need to hit the post.
It's no excuses. Like, if you were sitting at a con and you know you got a book to do, and if you're not working, if you're not working on a commission that you're getting paid for, like, you seen that commission, I'm working on a commission, getting paid for that. If not, I'm working on some stuff that me and Mike Barron got going on. You know what I mean? Because we're doing a book. So you got to always keep going, because you're drawing. Once a project is done, what's next?
What's next? You got to eat.
You got to eat, baby. You got to eat. And I'm from Jersey, man. Like, you ain't going to get nothing done if you ain't working.
But that's a different work ethic. I mean, I think, and this probably plays into you knowing Kevin Smith and drawing for the boys.
Yeah, yeah.
How did that break down? Because I know he's very particular about who he works with.
No, this is how it happened with Kevin Smith. Basically, he funds the comic book man. You guys know
that. Yes,
he does. Tom Mum is his videographer and everything like that. Thomas Mum.
Yep.
So Tom Mum got kind of got backed by Mike and Ming, the Blue Juice Comics. And I got mentioned on Comic Book Men that time. I mean, not Comic Book Men, but I Sell Comics for Mike and Ming. I was like, oh, my God, they just said my name. What the hell?
It's worth it.
That happened because I seen the art on there, and they were talking about Accelerator's book. I got to check it out because it's an interesting story. It's about guys that only can jump forward in time trying to get back to the time that they were.
So they think they go forward enough.
Going forward, things keep getting messed up. It's so good. Some of the books at the table, if you want to go, are the BT Mixy table here at the Denver Comic Fest.
Yes.
But I went out for it, and I asked them because I wanted to do the interiors. Unfortunately, it was a little bit too late, so... he said, I got
but
something.
But you still got in there. They're like, you know, we'd love to, but.
And that was the first time I got into Diamond. So to get into Diamond, that means you're official.
Yep,
you know what I mean? And I got into Diamond. I know Marty Grosser and the guys. Shout out to Marty Grosser. I love you guys. But I got the pinups in there. And then I ended up getting my friend Charlie Hogue, who's my colorist, and Matt Northrup, they're my colorist. I got him a job in there and brought him over to the States. So. It's just a good feeling, like being a job creator, and that's what people got to understand. Being a penciler, you kind of like the star, but you're not really the star, because to me, the writer's the star. But I'm just a tool that the writer uses, and then everybody else is the special effects. It's like a movie. You know what I mean? The sound guy is the letterer.
No, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
It takes a lot. And I just recently, I mean, I'm even getting one of my stories published by Wannabe Press.
Yeah, good job.
So it's a horror anthology. My story is a guy makes a deal with the devil, but he forgets what the deal is.
Oh, man, that's so sick. Who knows what this deal is going to be?
You're going to be like, what the hell?
Oh, I hear a hit and twist like Sterling at the end.
Oh, it's crazy. But so when you're dealing with the writers, I mean, how important is this relationship?
Very, very important. I can't stress it enough how the writer-artist is important, because the writer's just like the screenplay. They write the screenplay. I'm the director. So if it's a beat that Mike Barron probably said, hey, Barry, I want him twisting his arm this way and then doing this, that, and the other, if I could see a way to put something else into it, like add another beat or take away a beat if it flows better, or the shot, I'll come and do an extreme shot. I do a shot, a guy's drinking coffee, the detective's talking to a guy, he's drinking coffee. I'll do an extreme shot of through the handle of the mug of the coffee while they're smoking a cigarette. It's all about storytelling. So me and Mike Barron was just literally working out a scene in this new book we're doing. Cue Ball. I can announce it.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
And Cue Ball. And so... he was looking at the beat, and he didn't like how I did the roundhouse kick or whatever, he told me, and I'm very accessible. I said, I can change that. It's in pencil. I'm easy to do. Like, I'm so
easy. And it's funny that you call it a scene instead of a panel or thing. So you're shooting a scene. This is a film that is breaking down in your head. So you visualize this. I mean, are you playing with action figures as you're, like, breaking down the scene and all that?
Unfortunately, not anymore because we're older. But because that's why we got video games, folks. But I'm making a movie. You know what I mean? I'm literally making a movie every time. So I do most of my time reading. It's like,
well, you got to see what other people are doing. You got to know, because let's face it, writing's evolving. I mean, it is the storytelling platform is completely changed from what it was.
I'm just happy people finally caught up, because to me, I was reading Mike Barron way back in the day and his Punisher stuff.
Oh, it was just brilliant stuff.
His Mr. T stuff.
I remember that back in 92.
Yeah, Neil
when
Adams
he came
drew
out.
It, by
yeah,
the
did.
Way. Shout out to Neil Adams. He taught me how to make money. But he literally taught me to pitch. But
and that is all Neil Adams is. Neil Adams is a walking publicist's dream because that's all the man does.
The
is
stuff
just
that he
stuff.
Did for us in the industry, I can go on and on.
Well, him and Mike Grail, who Grail has followed Adams' style and all of that, and they've worked together before, so, I mean, there's...
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Grail, because Grail discovered me at this con, this very same con, and then when I met him, I showed him my portfolio. I just had, like, a whole bunch of pinups inside and pages in a plastic bag. I was just so... oh, I was horrible, kids. Don't do this. But I came up to him, and I was just fishing, because I had did a panel.
Right.
BT Comics panel. And so... he was like, I like this. I like what you're doing here. I like this Joker. He liked the way I did Joker. That's what got him.
Okay.
And then he goes, yo, but you need to work on your women a little bit. You know what I mean? And come back. Here's a homework assignment. Gave me the homework assignment. I met him at the DCC in the year following that. Next thing I know, he started trying to get me jobs. He got me a couple jobs. And boom. Like, got friends with Shannon Eric Denton through him.
Oh, wow.
But... anytime I'm in a rut and I'm feeling kind of down, I like to call him or like send an email to Neil Adams or something like that. Mike Grell, he definitely is always, he's my mentor. He's the guy that got me in. He was spearheading the charge of BT McSee Burning Lead. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, it was him.
Well, it's you were in 90, so that means you would have seen his Shaman's Tears.
Uh-huh.
Which
Ron
was
Bo
like
Hunter,
his big,
Shaman's
exactly.
Tears. The stuff that he contributed to Iron Man. Like, the drinking problem Iron Man
that
got,
was
that's
all him.
Mike Grell.
That is.
You know what I mean? Like, he
and that's
he
my favorite
that.
Iron Man. I loved him when he was just...
yeah, demon in the bottle, man. Yes. Come on. But, again, it comes full circle here. You know, it all comes full circle. I'm the new guy. I just don't want to embarrass Mike Grell and whatever the case may be. I'm kind of chilling here. But I don't want to embarrass those guys because they put their chips in. I'm just a little kid from Jersey, came here. They gave me a little inch in the door. I just tore it down. You know what I mean?
Oh, fair enough. So now when you're growing up, you grew up in the 90s. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite book? I mean, what were you reading at the time that you're just like, oh, that is money?
I was... any kid. I was born in 1980, but it was in the 90s, Jim Lee stuff. It was Todd McFarlane stuff.
Of course.
So it was X-Men, Batman, Spawn. Love my Spawn. Spider-Man when Greg Capullo, I mean, no, Todd McFarlane took it over. Quasar. Oh, my God.
You really liked Quasar?
I loved it, man. I only loved it because Greg Capullo was drawing it.
Oh, my God. That book was just horrendous.
It was trash.
It was.
But when Greg, man, Greg, oh, he tore it down. I loved, what else I like reading? I liked it, Thor, a little bit. I read a little Thor.
Well, you got the Simonson era right then.
But I was a Marvel kid. I was born a Marvel kid, but I liked the writing of it.
Right.
And DC had the writing.
Yes. That at that time is true.
Uh-huh. They had the writing. So I grew up in this weird flux where I'm a horror type of guy. My mom used to get Fangoria magazine and stuff when I was younger.
Oh, that is.
Daily, like weekly, monthly. And then that kind of trained me in the storytelling thing, like all the movies and stuff that I used to watch. So telling me the stories after Hansel and Gretel, it was like, an old man walks out of a hospital, slams his cane on the ground. He becomes the mighty Thor. Like, that was the stories that I grew up with. You know what I mean? Going to sleep, too. So
right.
It was like I was kind of born to be in this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of bred.
You were bred for this.
Subconsciously, I was kind of bred to do it. So I broke in kind of late, but I'm here. So I ain't going nowhere.
So if you could draw storyboard for DC or Marvel, mm-hmm. what character and what book?
That's hard because I've been drawing them all my life.
sitting in the back of math class, just doodling out a character.
Yeah, or samples. But I'm the type of artist I always want to go where I'm needed. And right now, somebody I can compliment. I could probably bring some light to Thor. I could bring some light to possibly Ghost Rider. I can bring some light.
Ghost Rider needs some help.
Yeah.
Desperately needs
but
some help.
My style will work with that. Quantum and Woody. With my home base at Valiant, Ninjak, I can bring something to that. But again, I'll just like going where I'm needed. I'll draw anything. You know what I mean? I'll draw Care Bears if their story's good. You know what I mean?
The Care Bear stare. So what's it like working over at Valiant? I mean, because let's face it, this Valiant is so much better after what Shooter got kicked out of and all of that. Because Exo Manowar, amazing. So badass. I mean, even Archer and Armstrong are even more solid than what they were.
Eat it up. I love that stuff. It's fun working at Valiant because, I mean, it's exciting because Dinesh puts out a limited line of books.
Yes.
We always want to make sure that the stuff is just solid over here.
Because you're the underdogs now. Because Image was the new kids on the block. And then, you know.
We're the new kids.
You're the new kids now.
And we're the new bad boys. I mean, like, it's supposed to come that full circle and that full turn. I mean, I know we would like to hear that thing that Kirkman said, like, who's Valiant? But everybody knows who
Kirkman
Valiant
talking
is.
Smack.
No, no, enough respect. He earned his light. I
he
like that.
He did. The man is. But yes,
a lot of people be scared when the bad boy status be leaving. You know, like we the new bad boys. So.
Yeah, the renegades. Yeah, we're no longer the renegades.
Shout out to the Renegades comic book on Valiant too. You need to go check that out, everybody. The Renegades.
It's very good.
But our comics are relevant. We're like the only company that actually has a cohesive universe. It's not getting obliterated. Everything
is integrated. I mean, you guys have really woven a very impressive tapestry because it takes from Shooter's universe, but has expanded it so much more with everybody interlaced and stories building on each other.
It's better than it was before.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And they brought it in. They didn't do it without pandering.
No.
And a lot of companies like to pander. You don't need to throw a bra on a guy superhero to make chicks like him. Just put that superhero in a situation where humanizing him or her, in the opposite sex and see it through a different lens. That's what this comic book is about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more human you make a superhero, I can draw Superman busting through a window or a wall. It would be cool because I drew it, of course. It'll be more powerful with me drawing him at the kitchen table, reading a Daily Planet in his full Superman garb with a cup of coffee. Like
that's the picture I want for. I want the morning of for Superman.
Yeah, because Superman want to be
Cheerios.
Human.
Exactly.
He wants to be human. You know what I mean? That's his.
Well, that's the disguise.
Mm-hmm.
That's the story.
But you got to humanize and bring a character out in these characters, and that's what. Hopefully, editors like about me, you know.
No, upon the character and your style,
mm-hmm,
I'm sure there's plenty.
It goes hand in hand. It goes hand in hand. And I like character actors in the background. Drawing Superman is easy.
It's
face,
everywhere.
The chin,
exactly.
The eyes. He's a pretty boy. It's easy. But get Perry, the grumpy old man, Chief. Like, to get the chief, like, get the bell pepper nose. I could put a little double chin under him. You know, crow's feet by the eyes. It's fun. He's a
so,
real person.
So do you think the main character's more important, or do you think the background is
background,
more important?
All the time. All the time. Mortimer Drucker grabbed me when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
Mad Magazine, all that stuff was heavy in the background, like the details. And then Todd McFarlane did the same thing. Greg Capullo, same thing, like kind of trained me.
Right.
I'm like 12 years old when they in the wizard with the how to draw com. I was
Tim Sale was running that
Tim
thing
Sale,
forever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Taught me how to draw. I was drawing better than everybody in the class because I paid attention.
Right.
You know what I mean? I was experimenting, you know? I don't know.
So what do you got coming up next? What's your current project? What's your baby and what's your holy grail?
Ooh, that's a good question. You're asking some goodies. Right now, I can tell you, I just wrapped up Exo Manowar 48 through 50, but it was they did a promotion. I did a whole bunch of trading cards in there. Got a lot of my original artwork out in that, so you might want to go. You might grab one.
I out of all the characters in the Valiant universe, mm-hmm. I loved Exo Manowar.
When he
takes
love him now.
When he takes over in the original series, the company, he just shows up, he throws the CEO out the window, and stakes his claim.
Amazing, but that's what Valiant been doing type of stuff like that. I got Armor Riders coming up with Brandon Easton. That's about
nice.
To drop.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's a book I did in Singapore with Valiant Wang. You should check him out, armorridersmechaworkshop.com/Barry McLean. And then I'm doing I got some stuff out with Blue Juice Comics. You can just go check on Comixology. I do so many books.
What's it like working with Bryan Cranston? Because that man is just wicked smart.
No, I didn't get a chance to work with him directly. No, I didn't. But working with you're talking with Brandon Easton, you mean?
Yes, Brandon Easton.
Yeah, Brandon Easton, working with him, it's great. Because, I mean, he's such a good – it's like Brandon Patterson on, like, Oodles and Noodles. Like, he likes mechs. He does Transformers Rescue Bots and stuff like that. And he did this, like, story of the Armor Riders Shadowfront. And I did design – like, help do a little bit of the Erebus mech. It's amazing because it's, like, noir, sci-fi noir.
Ooh,
it's not, like
okay. –
It's far removed from Blade Runner, but it's like it's sci-fi noir. And how I was drawing it, it's like Ninja Mech, so I'm doing a, like Batman robots. You know what I mean? Like, it don't matter. It's dope. But that's coming out. Me and Mike Barron got a book, Cue Ball, coming out. I finally get to work with him, the great Mike, legendary Mike Barron, and he did the Nexus Badger.
Oh, yeah.
That's coming out. I'm literally right now, kids, working on the new Badger cover. I got I'm the cover artist on the Badger now. Ooh, look at me. Mm-hmm. What else coming out? I don't know. I just got so much stuff. Wild Card Chronicles from Burning Spirit Comics that came out. Canada Jack issue 3 is coming out. That's done.
Wild Card. Is that the novelization based off of R.R. Martin? Okay.
All original IP.
Just
the Wild
sure.
Card Chronicles, Revenge of the Joker is at my table. You can check it out right now from Burning Spirit.
Okay.
Canada Jack, Atrophy Comics, issue 3 is coming out. Issue 1 and 2 is at my booth. You can come pick that out.
Okay.
What else?
So I have to two questions left for you.
Yeah.
One that I always ask artists.
Yeah.
Where do you see the future of comics? Because there's the argument that goes on. You got the digital versus the newsstand. You've got this war, this unsaid war that's going back and forth.
Yeah.
Where do you think... As an artist, on the other side of the fence.
The underworld war.
The underworld war.
Yeah, the lichens and the vampires. what's really going on? I mean, like, comics is, I mean, as a creator, this is not a business where you are allowed to be retarded and stay that way. This carrier pigeon stuff where nobody don't want to convert and learn their emails and know how to use an email or fax stuff and do pages in Blue Line. You know, it has to stop. You know, comics has a bright and shining future.
It does. I mean,
it has a bright and shining future. Movies aside, it has a bright and shining future. I mean, representation and a lot of artists here today is of that. But we are the new guys with the new ideas. Comic books ain't going nowhere. Hollywood is the one with no ideas. We have tons of ideas. We got to come with ideas, 8 ideas a day on one page. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We come up with original IP all day. You look at Hollywood, how many... tornado movies you're going to have. How many ghost stories is a little girl crawling out of a TV and she's crawling out of a well? Same thing. So with us comic book guys, we got the new IP is coming out. You know what I mean? Who knows? Cue Ball's going to be a movie one day.
No, absolutely.
You know what I mean?
So are we going to see the Valiant movies? Because I know that there is overseas interest. There's a particular person, I'm not going to bring up his name, that has sought after the Valiant licenses because Marvel's and DC's are already spoken for.
Yeah.
But you've got that underlining message. Are we going to see the Valiant universe come to film?
See, I can't talk too much to what Dinesh and the guys are doing and Morris Simonson are doing, but I can tell you this. We do have the Ninjak versus the Valiant universe.
Yep.
That's really exciting. We're gonna be doing the Archer and Armstrong series. That's in the works. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
I have heard about that.
It's not breaking. Yeah, that's happening. But, you know, we signed a deal or whatever. We're just doing baby steps.
Okay.
Baby steps. It's coming. It absolutely is coming. But, you know, I really feel, personally, if you ask me, if I was in the editing room, they keep it tight. Sealed up in there. They do.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Dinesh does call me on his very own birthday and stuff. He does. You know what I mean? But that's to be said. But when it comes to the cinematic universe, they're going to come out and it's going to be tight. We got to follow Marvel. We got to follow DC.
Follow DC. You better do a better job than that.
When I say we got to follow them, it's because we're just throwing our hat in the ring.
Right.
You know what I mean? We want to make sure the comic house is tight. You know what I mean?
Well, you got it.
You know what I mean? Who cares about the book that's attached to the movie or whatever like that? And I don't care about that. We want to make sure that I know this is what Dinesh is thinking and the guys are thinking. You look at the book, it's going to make you want to read the thing, watch the movie, and then it's going to correlate together. It's going to literally correlate together. And that way, it won't be cheap. You know what I mean? It won't be a cheap experience.
No, and that's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be, because movies are but a tool for us creators. Oh, finally, Hollywood, you caught up to us. You know what I mean? Finally. So I'm the new guy. I'm kind of in it. So I just want to make sure when I dip my toe in, I want to do it the right way as well with my IP that I have. Because I have tons of IP I made. Most of them books over there. Like, come on, dude.
So. All right, so the final question, and this is going to dip into your horror side.
Mm-hmm.
The better villain, Tim Curry, Alan Rickman, Christopher Walken.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that is such a hard question. You know why? Oh, the last question is going to be the hardest question.
It is. Of course, you close on the strong door.
Oh, God. I'm gonna be totally biased and just say Tim Curry. The only reason
Tim
I'm gonna say Curry,
okay, all right.
The reason why is because he did so many diverse roles. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, you can put him in any role. He can be gruesome. We just haven't seen him that gruesome. But in it.
And that's what made me, you know, because this is going to be the running question for everybody this weekend. But you have the new It movie coming out.
Yeah, but I got the original.
You have the original.
But Tim, you know what I mean? He's just that much of a fine actor. And I'm like into thespianism because when, you know, I draw my characters, I do them with so much character and stuff like that. Flamboyant sometimes and like meaner, real grumpy with the frown, the grimace, like. And Tim Curry is that guy for me. Like, I can look at him, like, from Legend and everything. Rocky Horror Picture Show. Like, he is the villain of villains. Imagine if he was the Joker, though. Imagine! You know he did the Joker voice before Mark Hamill.
Yes, I do know that.
Yeah.
He had tried out for it.
But
I, you know, given... When I read Batman, two voices come through.
Hamill and Conroy.
That's absolutely.
It.
Conroy
mean,
is the
life.
Voice of Batman.
All my
without
life.
A doubt. But I don't know if Curry... It is hard to say.
But a live-action Joker, I think he probably would have killed it.
He absolutely would have killed it.
I don't know. We'd be geeking out for hours talking about this stuff.
So I'll tell you what. I will let you go. I appreciate you sitting down with me. Now, if the players at home want to follow you or get in touch, where do they need to find you?
Oh, well, you definitely can find me on megaworkshop.com //Barry McLean, kidjersey.deviantart.com. Check me out on Comixology. Get my books on the work I did on the Accelerators, issue 14 and 15.
Yep.
Got pinups in the back of the ear. As well, you can catch me on theburningspear.com. Got books on there. Atrophy Comics, Canada Jacks on Atrophy Comics. Did work with Ron Fortier, Price for the Axe-Skin. You can get that on Amazon. You can just Google me. Catch me on Facebook, Barry McLean.
I thought you liked to do that in private.
No, really? That's what you young kids call it these days?
I think. I don't know. No, they chill. I don't know what the hell that means. Barry, thank you for sitting in with
thank
us.
You,
I appreciate the hope we see you again.
No, absolutely, brother. You will.
And in the end, we're all stories. So make it a good one.